This is White Spot Vancouver Giants this week on Sportsnet 650. And now, here's your host, Brooke Ward.
Ho, ho, ho.
And a ho, ho, ho to you, Brother Jake Jack the Giant, doing the damage here. The Monday night edition of White Spot Vancouver Giants this week. It's the mighty 650 on your AM dial, Sportsnet Radio. Along the vast and storied and legendary Sportsnet Radio Network, Vancouver Giants, a 1-1 weekend. More games coming up this week. More on that in a moment. Going to keep you busy. I am Brooke Ward. Jake wasn't lying. I am Brooke Ward, and I am still here. The Giants, by the way, 11 to go, four of them at home. Only, speaking of still here, only four more games for the Giants at home this season, barring miracle making the playoffs. But right now they're playing for draft position. Four home games left for the G-men on the entire campaign. Say it ain't so, Joe. Say it ain't so. Giants will burn one of those games on Friday when Seattle hits town. Then a four-game road trip for the Giants. It's a split-up four-game trip, but still, Kamloops, Tri-City, Kelowna, back to Kamloops again, why not? So you've got Tri-City and Kelowna, the Kamloops sandwich, as it were. You've got Kamloops sandwich cookie outside, and it wraps around, it bagels around the Tri-City Kelowna games as well. Then they're home on March the 8th against Kelowna, March 14th hosting Victoria, and to end the regular season, March the 21st against the same Kamloops Blazers. They won't go away late in the year. Johnny Keene and those Kamloops Blazers, they won't go away. Only four home games left for the Giants as the seasons and the years, just like the years, fly by. Coming up the program, Bill Wilms in a couple of moments. Nathan Kanter, too, on the big show. Dan Neer, the commissioner of the Dub, after Wednesday night's prospects game, the 5-4 East win over the West. Very entertaining game at the LAC. We'll get Dan Neer's comments on that game as well. Tyler Dinwoody, who worked Victory for that game, the Victory Network. He's the host on Victory for the Vancouver Giants. You've seen him all year long. So we're going to talk to Tyler about what the Victory setup's been like, as well as what he thought of the WHL prospects game. And Galen Patterson coming up in just a minute at the back end of the Giants' 2-1 victory. Their last game out on home turf as they took out the Winterhawks from Portland with a goal from 6.5 minutes to go from Colton Gerois. Still injured for the Giants are their two top players, basically, offensively. Their top defenseman, Ryan Lynn, and their top forward, and Mathis Preston. A couple of expected first-round draft picks to go in the NHL draft. They've been out for a while now, and the Giants have paid the price for the loss of those guys. We're going to keep it real busy for you tonight. The Giants on Friday dropped a 6-1 decision in Spokane, and then stuck a fork in a three-game losing slide again, the 2-1 victory behind some great goaltending from Kelton Pine on Saturday night. First star again for Vancouver. I don't know how many times he's been a star, but he's been a star often for Vancouver, often enough for me to notice. Give you a taste for how the game sounded with Nathan Kanter. We'll hear some post-game comments. So we'll get Nathan on himself as we cruise on through the big show. Right now, though, we will take you to a brief highlight pack of a three-goal game, two of which the Giants buried and bulged a twine and lit the lamp on Saturday night. Here's Nathan Kanter, Giants in Portland at the LEC.
McCloskey leads a rush, right wing Gerois. McCloskey gets it back. He scores! It's a give and go. McCloskey gets it under the arm of Chase, and Vancouver does indeed open the score. Your speed, Nathan Free, is in on a partial break for Portland. Pad save from Pine. Tittle back to the middle, given away, all alone is Brown, and he's stuck, and then another save from Pine on McDonough. Top of the left circle, a one-timer, they score. Alex Weiermeyer blasts it home, his 29th of the year. The power play comes through, we're tied 1-1. 6:50 to go in the third period, a 1-1 score. Giants in the offensive zone, Gerois scores! Mentality. He just chucked it to the net, and it beat Chase on the blocker's side. Vancouver leads 2-1 late in the third.
Rio, low shot, stopped by Pine, it throws to the side of the net. In front, it's intercepted, Oreskovic, can he clear on the backhand? It will get out to center. 6 seconds to go, three in his own zone. Far side, Duguay misses it. That will do it. The Vancouver Giants defeat the Portland Winterhawks by a final score of 2-1.
2-1 Giants the victory on Saturday night over the Winterhawks from Portland. Post-game, Bill Wilms, Nathan Kandick doing the damage in the banquet hall. By the way, you can always hear the post-game show right here in the Mighty 650 on the way home from a Giants game. But at the same time, you can go to the banquet hall and watch the post-game show. You are welcome. It's free. Come on in. And watch the post-game show live, too, which is kind of cool, as many people will do once the game is over. Meanwhile, when this game ended on Saturday night, Galen Patterson, one of the Vancouver Giants' fine assistant coaches, Wacy Rabbit is the other. Galen was talking about, with the injuries and with so many guys down, certainly in the last month or so, the Giants are getting healthier, but still missing a couple of key cogs to the engine. But that is giving younger guys a chance to play. And Galen talking about what the opportunity for the young guys, what it means to them, and as they look to grow in the future, they're given opportunity.
You know, we're a young team, and a lot of guys have been thrown right into the fire, and they're, you know, maybe elevated roles than where they would be on a you know, older, deeper team. But for us, it's a great opportunity to evaluate and judge kind of where they're at and what their trajectory is. And at the same token, it's great experience for them. Like, they have to, everybody says they want to be a top six guy, top four guy, a special teams guy. But then you do it, and not just one game, you have to do it over and over again. It's a tremendous experience for them.
Sam Charco.
Yep.
I want your opinion on where he's at as an 18-year-old and, you know, the pace that he plays with, and Braden Rigall, the
yep.
defenseman.
Yeah, I think, Sam, I was just talking to Nat about this. You know, a kid who was in the league at 16, 17 and then had to start this year as a junior A player, and there's for him there's probably a greater appreciation for being in the league, being in it, you know, getting a second chance. And he might not be the flashiest, you know, player, but he's really come along for us. Like, he's a heavy, strong player. He's good down low in the cycle. He's a great teammate, and I think, you know, he cares a lot and wants to win and wants to do well. And I think his play's been, you know, only getting better every single day.
You know, he looks explosive.
You come into the league as a 16-year-old, and maybe you're not sure your identity or what type of player you're going to be at this level. And maybe, I don't want to speak for him. Maybe he dealt with that a little bit when you first got into the league. But I think now he's looking at himself, you know, where he can be a two-way guy, maybe chip in a little bit offensively, but strong, heavy, create turnovers on the forecheck, battle. And I think he's got a great role model in front of him with Misha Volatovsky. I think there's a lot of comparables to the two of them. And I think that's a great opportunity for a guy like Misha to help mentor a kid like Sam, who's going to be, you know, back in the league as a 19-year-old and hopefully as a 20-year-old. And, you know, he's finding his role. He's finding his identity. And I think most importantly is we want kids here that care and that are want to get better every single day, that care enough to do the little things to help the team win. And I'm seeing a lot of that from Sam.
Braden Rigall.
Yeah. I mean, Riggs is a kid that, again, first year in the league, trying to find his role and his identity, and big body. Again, another kid who's just a great teammate. He's had a terrific attitude through his first year when sometimes you're not in the lineup or you're playing limited minutes. He's continued to work hard in practice every day and got his first WHL goal last night. Had a great opportunity to score, but I think he was just being unselfish and wanted to get the assist off the faceoff on the next play there. And, you know, I thought he's been just getting better and better.
Are you, I don't want to say surprised, but that the pace that the guys were able to play at the entire game, it didn't seem like there was ever really
no.
a let off the gas pedal.
Yeah, I mean, it's I'm not surprised. Like, our kids, again, I think I've said this on the broadcast, like, you see the results sometimes, and it can be disappointing or discouraging, but we get to be with them every single day, and they care, and they want to work, and they were frustrated with how last night ended, with the opportunity that we felt like we squandered. We thought we played a good hockey game up until, you know, we had an opportunity with that five-minute power play at the end, and it went a little sideways on us. And, again, like, it's about growth, and it's about learning, and when you have those feelings of disappointment and frustration, you wake up the next day at whatever time we woke up today, noon. But then you have a new opportunity in front of you. And what are you going to do with that opportunity? And they made the most of it. And I can, you know, attest the joy and pride that they feel right now. And now they get to watch the gold medal game tomorrow feeling really accomplished. So just a great way to end the week.
Galen Patterson, assistant coach after the the Saturday game, the 2-1 Giant victory, and then the players did get a chance to sit there if they wanted to get up at 5 a.m. or, you know, like me, tape the game and watch it later. Many of the, if you're Kennedy, didn't like the result, but they got to watch the game if they wanted to. That's an early wake-up call. Nathan Canter is now with us.
You have to watch it live. Come on now, Brooke. Oh, come on.
You got up at 5 in the morning after the Saturday night game and watch it live. Why didn't you record it? Why didn't you just tape it and wake up at whenever and then just watch it?
I don't know. There's something about, well, first off, I am worried it would get ruined somehow, some way, which you could put your phone away.
Okay, I got you. Oh, that but. Ruined. I thought you meant like tape doesn't roll, because I'm thinking, okay,
no.
Like a malfunction, technical malfunction.
I'm thinking a lot of people are so used to always being on your phone.
Yeah.
So I would look at it by accident, and then go, oh, that's the score, or that's game over.
Okay.
Final score. It gets ruined that way. The other thing, though, is there is, I think, something about you got to watch it live as it's happening now.
Oh, you're so young. Come on back at my age.
I went out too. Like a bunch of bars opened, right?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 5 a.m.
On location, you went out. Holy smokes. How busy was the bar?
A lot of them. Well, the first was too busy for me to get into.
Really?
So
well, those are hangovers.
Plan B.
Those are literally hangovers, leftovers from the night. People just didn't go home.
There was a line out the door.
Yeah.
So
some people
went to Boston Pizza.
Okay. Yeah. Boston Pizza opened at 5 a.m. for the game.
Yeah, they were.
Okay.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
I mean, the result wasn't good, but the game was good.
You eating pizza at 5 a.m. then, or did you have a salad or something?
I had a bandera bread, which is essentially a pizza.
Okay.
Yeah. You have whatever you need to do. A couple beers and watch the game.
I could see how some people just stayed out. It was Saturday night, so we're just going to stay out until 5 a.m. and watch the game, and that would be... Then I see why there's a lineup up at the door otherwise. No, I just taped it, and as long as it PVR'd, because that's my worry would be like, and I didn't even think about it until now, frankly. Oh, what if the PVR didn't fire? There was a glitch.
Yeah.
What if there's a power outage? Well, I couldn't watch it anyway if there's a power outage. But anyway, I just got up in the morning and flipped my phone upside down, so there's no way I could accidentally look at my phone, and didn't go on the computer and just watched the whole game in an hour. Just fast-forwarded through commercials?
That's the key with that. You don't have to have commercials. You just, boom.
Intermissions? No intermissions? No nothing?
Yeah.
So anyway.
If you replay that game 100 times, you win it 99 out of 100.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were all over. They played their best game of the Olympics by far and just couldn't beat Hellebuyck.
Yeah. Unless Hellebuyck plays like that in the 100 games, and then maybe the U.S. wins 99 of them. But you run into a hot goalie now and then, too, and it's anybody's game.
He must have saved 4 or 5 sure things.
Yep.
My gosh.
Well, the paddle save was, like, the incredible one. Was that off Taves or whoever it was?
Yeah, it was Devon Taves.
But then you had, the empty nets that were missed. And then McAvoy in the crease standing on the goal line knocked one out that... Uh-huh. Might have been going. Of course, if you got more mustard on it somehow in the middle scramble, maybe he doesn't. McAvoy doesn't stop it, but the McKinnon
breakaways too from Celebrini and McDavid and
Celebrini shot early too. I thought he might have been at the end of his shift, but he shot early. Maybe he thought he was going to get caught because he didn't do much with that breakaway. But the McKinnon empty net was like what the it happens though. So
it happens. It totally. It's just you don't want it to happen.
You miss. Yeah, right then it's like no, I need to do that. Because there are others saying, I heard others saying, oh, the Canadian key players on Canada let them down in the final game. Oh, come on, man. I mean, didn't score, but I mean.
They did everything but score.
Yeah, I missed
everything.
It was a vacant net, basically, and I missed whether I rushed it or whatever. I mishit it, whatever. Hey, I thought the game winner might have been mishit by Hughes, but then I watched it because I thought, was he going high and then put it low and under Binnington? Because it didn't look that great a goal to me in that regards. But then I watched a replay. I thought, no, I think he meant to slide it under him.
Yes, I think he did go through the legs. Yeah.
But at first, I thought he was looking shelf, and that was what threw Binnington a little bit. Otherwise, no, he slithered it under their 5-hole on a shift when McDavid could have scored, but Hellebuyck got a paddle on, and I'm saying could have, but as he tried to cut in front. Hellebuyck knocked on McDavid's rush. He poke-checked him, basically, swatted the puck away with a stick so that he was right on top of him in the crease. Who knows if he can go right through the crease?
And then I thought, this is not why I had you on, by the way, Nathan. But then I thought that also same play, that Makar, before he pinched ill-advisedly, watch the replay again. He catches his skate in a bit of a rut, it looks like. He loses his footing slightly.
Well, you know what?
And that might change his mind.
He basically, three-on-three is a bunch of, you know, split-second decisions of, like, do I risk or not? Like, am I going to take the risk or back off? And he saw McDavid. Let's keep in mind, when Makar decides I'm going to go for this puck, McDavid's behind the defense. If he gets him that puck, it probably is game over.
Well, I think he might get to that puck first, if he doesn't catch a bit of a rut because it threw his skating off.
Totally.
So that might have also influenced his decision. I'm going this way, and all of a sudden, oops, now I'm caught in no man's legs. So I caught a bit of a rut here. I'll lunge at the puck. And then McKinnon, the last guy back, didn't play it very well. I thought he could have got to the loose puck, but decided, no, I'll chill on this. And then the next thing you know, it's in the back of the net. So
Zach Werenski did actually make a very good play. I think caught McKinnon off guard. And let's keep in mind, I don't know this, or maybe it is already out there, but like I'm sure a bunch of guys were playing hurt. I don't know if McKinnon was at 100%.
Yeah, and no Sid the Kid and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And you know, if you want to put it this way, no Johnny Gaudreau for the American.
Well, no, but in great for the, do you see what they did post-game? That was very nice.
Yeah, that's what brought that to mind. I thought everyone's missing people, and we all miss Johnny Gaudreau. So anyway, that's not why you called, pal, but just on the back end of this, the Giants had the 1-1 weekend, and now, am I right, 11 games left?
You know what? I've got 11. The standings say 12.
Thank you.
And I can't figure out how to fix those. Like, it has to be 11 by my count. I've counted many times.
Me too.
Gone over it all. And there's a missing loss on the standings somewhere.
Somewhere in there. So the Giants should have played 57 games right now.
Yes, correct.
Yeah.
So... yeah, that'll get sorted, I'm sure. But
I hope so. But I'm with you. I'm on the Dub site doing the same thing, going, well, they got 11 left. They're not playing 67 this year or whatever it is.
No, they're not. No. So they're still, for sure, it's still 11 points out. But, I mean, you got to like the Saturday performance, no? Like, it was, it's hard to win a game in this league 2-1. It's hard to hold any team to 2-1, let alone, you know, the Portland Winterhawks, who have over 200 goals this year, and they did it without, we've said, you know, the injuries, we've said it all along for the past month plus about no Preston, no Lynn, and yet it was the same, and they played really, really well. Like, the whole team defensive effort, the energy level, the pressure on the forecheck, of course you need good goaltending if you're going to win any game 2-1, and they got that from Kelton Pyne. But I think the bigger takeaway, and I get some... people might say, well, why can't we see this more often? And I think that's fair, is that kind of effort should lead, if you have that kind of effort more consistently in terms of taking away the middle of the ice, which they did very well, limiting on-man rushes, you would have picked up probably more wins over this last 5-6 week stretch with so many key bodies out. And so that's great to see. But on the other hand, I can understand a little bit of, you know, why aren't we seeing this kind of effort a little more often?
I hear you. And you even said pregame on your pregame introduction there, before the games, Nathan does keys to the game up on the big screen. You see the gorgeous man from Toronto up on the big screen. That'd be Nathan. And one of the keys, basically, you got to win 3-2 hockey games. You got to win 2-1 hockey games. Nathan, fighting the clock here. Bill's waiting. You know he gets impatient. Seattle here on Friday night, along with Cameron Schmidt and Caden Kale again. Try and make it 2 in a row. Go Canada, man. It's going to be okay, Nathan. Go Canada. But sleep in. I'd sleep in and just tape it next time.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll do that next time.
No,
maybe
save yourself.
Switch it up.
Yeah.
Maybe
then again, you went out, right? You went out.
Right. I can't do that next time.
If I was going to stay home, if I was going to go out and enjoy that flavor, okay, fine. I could go out. And then I could text away with my buddies back in Toronto to my heart's content. Thanks, Nathan. Appreciate it, pal.
Yeah, thank you. We'll see you Friday.
Billy Wilms coming up next, among others, going to keep you busy here. Dan Neer as well, the commish. We'll hear from him following the prospect game from last week as well. Talk a bit about that too. Stay with us. This is White Spot Vancouver Giants this week on Sportsnet 650.
Oh, oh, oh.
This is Vancouver Giants This Week on Sportsnet 650. Now, Brooke Ward.
Part two of two, Vancouver Giants This Week, the Monday night edition. Giants 1-1 last week, dropped a 6-1 decision in Spokane on Friday, came back at home, two games, 24 hours, came back on Saturday night and beat the Winterhawks from Portland. Cam Neely's old Portland Winterhawks. Giants beat them by a score of 2-1 on Saturday night. Bill Wilms is coming up in a couple of moments. Tyler Dinwoodie as well, who is the host for the Giants on Victory and Victory Plus, the network. You can hop on to Victory Plus in their app. Watch every game home and away throughout the WHL for free this hockey season. Victory Plus. Make sure you check it out. Tyler later in the program. Bill in a couple of moments. But the prospect game was on Wednesday night of last week in Vancouver, the 5-4 East victory over the West. And WHL Commissioner Dan Neer was in attendance, obviously, and did an interview with the guys. We want to run that for you just to give you the commissioner's perspective of what shook down at the LEC, which has hosted many big events and hopes to host many more as well. Here's the commish.
We couldn't be happier to be here. You know, you put on an event for the first time. You don't know how it's going to go, but we had pretty good confidence coming here to Langley, being hosted by the Giants. It would be successful. You guys do such a great job of putting things together. We've got an awesome crowd. We have an amazing turnout from any NHL teams and Central Scouting, which is an important part of what we do, and so we're thrilled.
Now, Dan, we are 3 years removed now from the last time we saw a quote-unquote official top prospects game at the CHL level, and ironically enough, the last time that happened was right here in this very building at the LEC. Obviously, with the changing landscape in that regard, how did this game come about, and what was the decision-making process that brought it here to Vancouver?
Well, when we made the decision to go play against the national team on the U.S. side, it narrowed the field of players down to 20 or 22 across the CHL. And, you know, we've got 44 here. I think that the CHL has, you know, 76 CHL players are in the top 100 skaters in North American Central Scouting. And it just wasn't enough players to put on display. Like, part of our job is to put these players in a position to be seen and to have opportunities. And we think we're the best, not just the best major junior league, but the best junior league overall. And so being able to put these guys on display, yes, we hope some of them outperform and their stock rises. But we think that bringing the scouts in to see our league and the competitive play that we have brings all guys up from our league and raises our profile. And so it's a really, really critical event in our minds vis-a-vis our responsibility to the players, not only as developing them as people and as young men, but as far as creating opportunity.
And talk about opportunity. One thing that we've talked about, myself and Bill and Justin, so far is there's a bit of an American flavor in this game with, you know, the Hurlburt was pretty noticeable. He's been noticeable all season. But he's not the only one who, you know, players, you get an opportunity as a league to recruit guys who you wouldn't have been able to before. Is that exciting to see?
Look, I think that there's a lot of pride that our league has historically been very Canadian, but a lot of that was driven by the fact that there was NCAA legislation that structured everybody's path a certain way, and now that that's been lifted, I think we just view ourselves as the most competitive, best development environment for a 16 to 20-year-old from anywhere in the West, North America-wise, and including Europeans, and it's showing that some of these young players, like if you look at the draft results from last year, we've never had so many Minnesota players selected. Minnesota kids didn't even know what the Western Hockey League was, in large part because if you wanted to be a Gopher or if you wanted to go to, you know, St. Cloud or whatever, the path was to play in high school, go to the USHL for a year or two, and then bridge into college. But I can tell you now, there's no question that every player in the West is looking at the Western Hockey League, whether they're from Canada or for the U.S., and saying, this is my gateway to the next step in hockey, which is in very frequently, and will be the case for a lot of guys on the ice, pro.
I think it's, you know, no surprise, Dan. We talked a lot about it over the course of the last year or so, the changing landscape right across junior hockey and the control that players have to decide where they want to end up. But, you know, that changes the way that teams, you know, construct themselves in the championship window. How do you guys as a league manage that as well? And does it help you to see a player like J.P. Hurlburt come north of the border and see his draft stock rapidly improve with 1 year in the dub?
Well, historically, you came to the league with the intention of playing all 5 years. And we still think that for the vast majority of players that come to our league, maxing out your junior eligibility is probably in their best interest, extending their hockey career. If you're going pro and you need that full junior career, great. If you're going to college after, if you need that additional time to develop, the idea of, hey, if there's NIL money, like, you're probably going to get more money, you're probably going to get a better school, and you're probably going to have a more influential position on the team coming in as a 20 versus coming in as a 19. And so we think that we serve a real good purpose for everyone's development. And, yeah, do I think that it's going to create some data points and some time to understand what the right profile is to make different decisions? I do. But we're not just going to sit here and wait. We're going to continue to invest in our environment. We're going to ensure that we have the best coaches, our facilities, our environment. Everything about the player experience is elevated to the point where, of course, a player is going to want to be here because this is what's going to take him to the next level of hockey in the fastest period of time.
Just for time, I think this might have to be the last one. Unfortunately, we got a few minutes left in this intermission. But Michael Bublé and Drew Scott are here. I feel like this is not just a game, right? This is an event. This is what do you think of it so far? And about with those two being involved?
Yeah, you know, I think that a lot of people thought of me coming in as kind of a marketing and brand guy. I spend a lot of time on hockey issues, but I'm passionate about doing things that really our goal is outside of the hockey. Is we want more fans. So we want to create more opportunities for fans to see our games and to consume not just Giants games, but everything going on. And then we want our existing fans to consume more. And so are you paying attention to the away games? And are you paying attention to what's going on around the league? Are you paying attention to the special events? And undoubtedly, when we have an opportunity to bring two guys who are ultra passionate about the Vancouver Giants and about our league, about our development environment, into an event like this to bring proximity to the players, to bring our fans into the building and to get close to some international superstars, we're pretty privileged to be able to do that. And you know, it's a testament to the Giants organization and Ron Toigo, the ownership group here. They've really done an amazing job.
Dan Nears, WHL commissioner, last Wednesday night, prospect game of the WHL variety at the Langley Event Center. Speaking of first class, Bill Wilms is with us right now. Hello, Mr. Wilms.
Hello, Brooke, and your thousands of listeners?
Hundreds of thousands.
Yeah, hundreds of thousands.
Come on, hundreds of thousands, man.
You can't miss this show.
I know, this is the one. Well, if people know Bill is on it, then this is the show. It's the place to be, the mighty 650, Bill. I understand, by the way, that you are, as we speak, here on a Monday night, you're out at dinner with family and friends, and what, you have a great-granddaughter?
Yeah, we're celebrating some birthdays. My wife just doesn't let birthdays go by, even if they're a couple months in arrears.
Yeah.
We still get them done, and we're at my daughter, the one that sang the anthem one night, actually, at the Giants game, remember? And anyway, that's Sherry, and we're over here, a bunch of adults, and there's a 9-month-old or 10-month-old great-granddaughter that's just dominating everything, which you can imagine. It's pretty cool.
What's her name?
Her name is Juniper Eve.
Juniper Eve. Ah, your lovely bride.
My wife was in tears when she found that out.
Wow. Yes, Eve is Bill's. Maybe it wasn't her, though, Bill. It could have been anything.
Yeah.
Could have been Christmas Eve or something, or New Year's Eve. And it's just like, but you kill a couple of birds there. Well, that's awesome. The kids keep you busy, though. Center of attention at 9 months already?
Yeah, honestly, she fits in so well. No matter how many adults in the room, she's aware of everyone. She's just standing at a table almost floor level where there's a lot of dips and celery and cucumbers and that. She's making herself right at home and obviously doesn't get to swallow anything, but you should see her. It's pretty funny.
Checking it out. Will she be a singer like Mom then, or an athlete like Dad, or I should say Grandpa?
No, and that definitely not. Well, her grandpa, you know, and is Sherry and her husband. So I have no idea. I had a sister who passed away, had a children's choir in Winnipeg, and they sang for any royalty that was in Winnipeg. Sang in front of the Queen when she was there, and they won a world festival, number one in the world, in Bulgaria, and it was a renowned Mennonite children's choir out of Winnipeg. You can Google that if anybody ever wants to know about children's choir. It was the best. I mean, what are festivals? I mean, they're somewhat regional, but she was there and had all the music in her family, but she couldn't hit a four iron.
Oh.
Neither could I. Yes. No, I was okay, but I couldn't hit a 3-iron, actually, very well, or a 3-wood. So, anyway, it's not about me. It's about the kids, Bill. But, yeah, anyway, that's crazy. You know what, Bill? So many things with you and your family, you should write a book.
Well,
you already did, folks.
You
it's
know
called,
what? No,
the
but,
book's
but
called
you know
It
what?
Always Got Better is the name of the... And every time I talk to Bill, you drop something else on me that's better, Bill. So you name that Bill, the book you wrote appropriately.
Well, yeah, you know what? And I'll tell you honestly, I encourage my wife to. I encourage Eve to write a book of some sort because the relationship that she has with her family, with her children and her grandchildren, and now her great-granddaughter is unbelievable. I sit back and marvel at her age, how she is able to still do everything and be so big. She's a matriarch of our whole family. She's the glue, literally, that holds our entire family together. We're here today because of her planning, not because of mine.
Wow. Well, I've said before, if you're looking for a title, you got Bill and you got his wonderful wife, Eve, and Bill Eve. There's the Believe. Is the book title.
Yeah, it makes sense. I like it. But you know what she would do? She's so reluctant. She says, if I ever do that, she'll say the title will because you asked me to.
Okay, that's good, too. That's good.
It is good, too.
Good. Well, there's going to be a chapter. Name a chapter, Bill Eve, in there.
Exactly.
Okay,
exactly.
Deal. What did you think of the prospects game? Because we just had the commission on. What did you think of that on last Wednesday and how it was all put together?
You know, always exciting. I hadn't done one, I think, since... broadcast once, I think it was back in 2002 in Red Deer. It was kind of an all-star game, but we did it on Sportsnet at the time. But, you know, when you get that kind of talent and you get that kind of ability, when I look at a couple of guys, Carlton and J.P. Herbert, they didn't disappoint. I mean, when you look at those guys, especially the top 10, Brooke, there's a top 10 in the world. You know, I mean, really, strictly CHL, Western Hockey League prospects. It wasn't even the CHL. But remember, there was no Ontario Hockey League prospects. There was no Quebec League prospects, no European prospects. And still, when you saw guys on the ice that are ranked currently, you know, in the top 10 in the world, they didn't disappoint.
I'm going to ask you, don't move around too much, Bill. I know you're reaching for dip. You've got all those lovely dips there.
No, I'm upstairs.
Okay.
I'm out of the mix.
You're cutting out a little bit if you move. So as we go live here, I don't want to mess with you. So I bet I don't know if I believe you that you're away from the dips or not, but you'll soon be back into them. And one thing with the LEC, and the commish complimented the Giants and the Toygos and whatnot, but you do, like that event was there, and I thought, boy, did we have to wait 22 years to do this again and everyone gets a turn, but the Giants do get their modest share of events there too.
Mm-hmm.
And so they do a good job at presenting them.
Yeah. Ron Toygo loves that. And he does such a good job of getting the events. And then his staff does such a great job of hosting them, obviously. I'll miss those nights. Definitely. They're very important. They're very big and a lot of fun. And, you know, Brooke, when I did that prospects game, I kind of thought back, okay, you know, what did I do in terms of how fortunate was I able to broadcast prospects? And I looked and I did 170 first round draft picks, including 53 top 10 picks, including 40 total Vancouver drafted players, including 6 Vancouver Giants first rounders. But, when I looked at that, the list, you know, there's a couple places on YouTube you can see who all the, you know, draft picks were. And Brooke, they all were so familiar as I looked at the names. I remember how they played. I remember, I mean, come on, I make a million notes on these guys and I recognize the name and I could see them. And again, you know, such a great event. And to know that in my 25 years, I was a part of the overall prospects that were in the, you know, in the hunt for, you know, draft. Again, it's and privileges that I've had.
Yeah. And I look back at my time, too, way back, Bill, if I'm into the 80s as well, of PA announcing for the Bruins, or as you've worked alongside Dan Russell on some cable games or whatnot, and seen if I look back at the list back then, seeing the Cam Neelys and all these guys and the John Cordics. And, you know, the list would go on of the guy that Cliff Ronnings playing for the New West Bruins, Dana Merzen coming into town, Wendell Clark coming into town, I remember once, with the Bruins and all that stuff. So it's sure great to look back on. And what a privilege. Today's kids will be saying that when they're 20 now, Bill, and when they're 50, they'll say, well, there was this Quinn Hughes kid I used to see play a lot or something like that.
Well, you know, when I looked at Team Canada roster, I broadcast in my time as a junior, Travis Sanheim, Sam Reinhart, Seth Jarvis, Shea Theodore, Brandon Hagel, Mark Stone, Darcy Kemper, Ryan Getzlaff, PR advisor, was a player at Calgary. You know, and I mean, I'm thinking, holy cow, how fortunate, just how fortunate to have been able to do that. And, you know, I'm very blessed to do that. But, you know, it always gets me a little bit, I can't get quite as up before, I got to be honest with you, with the Olympics. No, I didn't get up at 5 o'clock to watch, and I will see it on replay. But, you know, when I think of all of those guys that I have, you know, been able to broadcast high-end talent, once they leave the Western Hockey League and once they get into pro hockey, I take a bit of a rain check. I don't follow them that closely because there's another bunch of guys coming up that I'm more interested. So therefore, to get into Team Canada, I have to reset. I have to regroup. And I'm just not that big a fan because, yeah, I love the guys that play and I just can't get into that. And, you know, tying a bow around that whole prospect thing, it's been fun.
Yeah, and Giants do a good job. So we'll wait for the next event that the Giants have coming up, too, of the National or Western Hockey League variety they'll continue to score every time they put on an event, Bill. With the Giants, the 2-1 win, a 1-1 weekend, 6-1 loss in Spoke on Friday, and then the 2-1 win over Portland on Saturday night. Your takeaway from the weekend, sir?
Well, really quick, Friday in Spokane with 10,500 people in the building, the Giants did fall behind and they got it to 3-1. And, unfortunately the last 5 minutes, everything fell apart penalty wise. There was a 5-on-3 opportunity that they had that, they can possibly get the goaltender out. It didn't happen. But Brooke, the one thing they took away from that Friday game, with 4 minutes about left in period number three, yeah, they're trailing. But they had allowed only one Spokane shot on goal. And I thought, you know, if they don't throw the lesson out with a loss, they might be able to take that mindset defensively, because this isn't a team that's going to score a lot of goals. We know that. But they could take that mindset into the game against Portland, and they sure did. I mean, they never gave up the middle of the ice. They never trailed, you know, they scored the first goal, Portland tied it, they got ahead 2-1, and I thought that they did a masterful job defensively, even though, you know, they got back late, I think they got back 5 or 5:30 in the morning, I had to do it all over again, and I love the way they played checking-wise. They played a tremendous job, you know, without the puck, they denied the slot, there just wasn't a lot of room. Obviously, because you're not giving up a lot of goals. Give up was a power play goal to Portland. And, you know, and I'm anxious to see looking ahead now for next season what they're going to be able to do in the last 10 or 12, 14 games, whatever they've got left. You know, this is an important part, I think, of moving forward.
You talked with Galen Patterson, assistant coach, postgame. I ran that in the first segment. And when I was listening on the way home on 650, Sportsnet 650, Bill, I was with you. When he came on, you asked him at least about a couple players, but I'm going to drop him on you again right now. First of all, like, where'd Sam Sharko come from? Because I like Sam Sharko.
You know what? He had 8 goals last year at Seattle as a 17-year-old, and if you watch him, man, his first step, I think, is terrific. He closes on his checks, Brooke. Whoever he's after on the ice, he closes as faster than any forward we have. And he's 18. Okay, that's an important part. So, you know, Lance McCloskey, I liked him. Paulinchuk, I liked him. I thought Regal is coming on. And I'll tell you what, let me just say this. Just like the NHL, okay, and some, if you're a first-round draft pick in the National Hockey League, you become part of the family. That team that drafted you, you are family right away. Some second rounders, maybe. Outside of that, you got to work your way into the family. Well, it's no different in the WHL with the Vancouver Giants. The first round, not first overall, the first round draft picks, and I say this in moving forward into the end of the year, okay, you know, Brett Olson, you know, he was an eighth overall. Blake Chorney was 10th. Jacob Oreskov was 22. Ryan Lynn was 6th. Oscar Holowaychuk is 6th. Crosby Matejchuk's 13. Now they've added to their list Joe Eginla, 12. Mathis Preston's 3 overall. These are all those kind of Bannon picks, and they are part of the family, the Vancouver Giants. So that level of pick immediately, you're in that family of the Vancouver Giants. And then everybody else on the current rosters are trying to break into that family. They've got work to do, a lot of them. Maybe it's not automatic moving forward. They've got that kind of work to do. And then you look at guys like you just said, Sam Charco and Jason Paulinchuk, he's 18, big, tough guy. And I like McCloskey's play as a defenseman. He's waited till this point in the season to become stretch himself offensively, a give and go in the offensive zone. And as I said, you know, even Caleb Hartman is 18. He's new. He's still not in the family at this point, to be honest with you. He's only played 10 games in Vancouver. And I would say I'd cut some of those guys a pretty long leash in the last 14 games. And then, you know, see what you've got that you can take comfortably into training camp next year.
Yeah, I don't know who all comes back, and et cetera, as you say, Bill, but I like Colton Giroux, too, another former Seattle player like Charco is. He has done well, and Volotovsky, who's the 20-year-old. I like some guys, yet it hasn't been a great season to like if you're a Giants fan for the most part. Thank you, Bill. I like dip, and if I was over there, I'd be sticking celery in a dip myself, man. I'll get you back to the punch bowl.
Well, I'm going to head right to the celery. I like that.
Thanks. Say hi to Eve and the whole gang.
Thanks again. Happy to me. Talk to you soon.
The great Bill Wilms, the veteran broadcaster with your Vancouver Giants. Again, Bill's written his own book. If you get a copy of this, it's a terrific read. It always got better. I just started out. He was a teacher years ago. He's been a pro hockey player. He's an outstanding golfer. He's a tremendous broadcaster. On the golf front, discountgolfcard.ca. Jump on that. It gives you, starting in April, there's a brand new card out. Lasts a year. Gives you a discount golf. Discountgolfcard.ca. Simple name. Why complicate it? It almost got better as the book to Bill Wilms. We did talk with Bill about the prospect game, obviously, that was held last Wednesday. Tyler Dinwoody is also part of the Vancouver Giants broadcast team, and he works the Victory Games on Victory and Victory Plus, the app that you can get for free to watch free dub games home and away throughout the season, any team, any game. We talked with Tyler the other night at the hockey game about what the experience has been like. It's a first-year project working with Victory. Here's Tyler.
It's been good. You know, we started off slow. We kind of wanted to make it something special. We wanted to kind of stand out around the league, and I think we've done that. You know, we started in one manner, kind of slowed into or eased into it, and we've been kind of making it a little better every show, and I think it's, I don't know, I think we've achieved that.
I've watched since day one. It looks the same to me. So how have you changed? How has it evolved?
Well, we really started the first ones. We really just went with kind of the talking head approach. Since then, we've tied in a lot more graphics, a lot more, you know, leaderboards and standings graphics. And then we pull the highlights in. And, you know, the replay team here at LEC has been fantastic with, you know, I stand behind them, like, grab me that throughout the period. And they're ready for me in the intermission. So it's been good.
Have you seen other productions, you know, as good as the Giants is? Are they running highlights? Are they having Michael Bublé and Drew Scott on?
Well, I don't know. I think we're kind of lucky. We have a little more access to Michael Bublé and Drew Scott than other people do. So I don't know. I think, well, that's one thing I can say. We have a pretty, you know, we've got a fairly quality ownership group here at the Vancouver Giants. And so we've had a pretty quality set of guests that we've had to bring through over the year. So I have been pretty lucky in that sense. But I'm not here to point fingers at anybody else. I'll just say that I'm pretty proud of what we're putting out. And I think, you know, we've got some pretty good accolades from the league and from viewers. So I think we're calling it successful so far.
Is this all, you know, Tyler Dinwiddie production? Or is this the thoughts that when things change, is it all you? Or are you actually watching some of the other people going, hey, that's not a bad idea?
No, I mean, it's not like we're doing anything super groundbreaking, you know.
You're breaking ground, man.
As you know, I'm a pretty big sports fan. I watch a lot on TV, and I see things. And I'm like, hey, that'd be cool to do, or let's drag this in, or, you know, that's where it comes from. It's not.
And it's you.
Yeah, but again, we have like the.
There's a great team, I know, but it's you who are coming up with these. Why don't we do this? Why don't we do this?
Yeah, and I've got, you know, I've been around here for a long time. I got a lot of Giants history, so a lot of the stories of it's 25th anniversary for the Vancouver Giants this year, and a lot of the stories we're doing are just, you know, the memories that I've had. Spokane comes to town. It's real easy to think of the WHL finals in 2019 when we had that crazy series with them with all the nuts bounces and stuff. So real easy to throw a video together for that.
You've been here long enough that, in other words, you get street cred. You didn't walk in off the street into this job.
No. All of the ridiculous knowledge I have of the Vancouver Giants is because I've sat here for almost every single game and watched it with my own eyes.
How'd the selection process go that Tyler was chosen?
I walked into Dale Sipes' office one day, and he said, you're going to do Victory Plus. And I wish there was a better story than that.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, and the Dale Sipes way, he was like, you're going to do it. And I said, all right, I'll give it a whirl.
Go get it done.
Yeah, we got it done.
We got it done. We're getting it done. Boobly and Drew Scott the other day. I mean, you've had a chance to meet them before, at least Boobly. This is year one, shall we say, for Drew Scott. At least the first year I've seen him here, Tyler. But, take him individually. What's so cool? What's so cool about Michael Boobly?
Well, Michael Boobly is not afraid to be the center of attention. He can drive it, much like yourself when you're a guest on the show. It doesn't take a lot. But yeah, he's pretty well versed in the entertainment world, so he's done a thing or two on in front of a camera. So he's easy to run. And then Drew Scott's just a really, really good guy. We had him on. It actually might be on part of the show. We've got the Amazon show that's been tailing him around this year, and so he came on early in the season when he was being followed by the show. And he's just a super, super good guy. We're actually alumni of Capilano University together, so I kind of knew him.
Really?
25 years ago. He was in the acting program at Capilano University. So
you kind of knew him?
Yeah, well, he was in the acting program. We'd cross over because I was in the production program. But
and now your paychecks are the same.
What, you think he's making that much money?
No, I don't think he's making that much.
Yeah. Well, I hope not. I got to ask for a raise if he's making that kind of money.
He came out of Cap College. For people who don't know, Amazon has been following around the Giants and Buble and Drew Scott to put a feature on that I'm waiting for. But through all the year, then the prospect game hits town last time out. That's a pretty cool thing. Great publicity for those guys, but for the Giants as well. And maybe you get on there too. You never know.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm sure that I've been filmed a few times. They're probably going to cut those sections.
It's totally edited.
Yeah, I'm sure those are gone. But yeah, it's cool. It's going to be called Hometown Giants, I believe. They did the pilot during the playoffs last year, and I guess it got picked up. Not that Drew Scott and Michael Buble had anything to do with that, but I guess it's running. So season one's shooting right now. It should be pretty cool.
I know. And what did you think of the prospect game the other night?
You know what? I actually, as you know, those games kind of take a slow start. Lots of ceremony building up to them, and they're kind of, you know, the people feel each other out. I thought the first period was pretty mundane, ramping up, and then that third period and overtime were fantastic. Rudolph getting the overtime winner, and a guy, you know, the kind of one of the guys you want to see score in it. So kind of all played out right. Not our first prospects game here. Obviously, we had the Bedard hype game a couple of years ago come through here, and then, you know, the WHL Russia series in 2018, I believe. You know, so it's we've had our fair share of those come through. I thought this one was very watchable. Is that fair to say?
Pretty good. I'll take that. And the fact that Giants continue getting events like this, does that speak to the Giants and the franchise, do you think, and the publicity and guys like you who pull it all together?
Well, and I think this Langley Event Center in general, the staff here is so quality. They put so much effort into the events. I think the WHL, CHL, Hockey Canada have always felt comfortable coming here. They know they're going to get a good product between the Giants and LEC.
1 year contract for you. You're coming up for renewal. Drew Scott's in the mix. Buble. They don't want Siper. No one wants to let you go. So I would suggest that you hold out and don't just sign the first offer is what I'd suggest you.
I'm leaving that in my agent's hands. Yes. His name's Brooke Ward. He's really good.
You don't know how bad yet. Thanks, Tyler.
All right. Thanks, Brooke.
Tyler Dinwoody. He is the host of Giants Hockey on Victory. A free app. Make sure you check it out. Thanks so much for everybody. We're tight on time now, too. Thanks so much for everybody. Jammed a lot into the big show tonight for joining us, the big program. And you, the loyal listener. And, of course, my buddy Jack the Giant. No matter how late we are, I got to fit him in. Jack, baby.
Ho, ho, ho.
And a big ho, ho, ho to you, too. Big guy. Giants are back at it this coming Friday night. Seattle is in town. Cameron Schmidt and Caden Kale return once again to the LEC. Thanks for listening. I'm Brooke Ward. This has been White Spot, Vancouver Giants This Week on Sportsnet 650.